AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. This is episode 15. Joining me again, as always, is Lewis Laird. Lewis, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Stefan. Cheers.
Good stuff. And Declan Hughes. Declan, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
I'm not too bad, mate. Just had a clean, fresh workout. Feeling good. Sitting down to do this now, so I'm doing good. So we had Scottish Cup action at the weekend. Games included Aberdeen versus Dumbarton, Celtic versus Falkirk, Rangers versus Cove Rangers, Fermanagh United versus Motherwell, and so on. There are just far too many games that we had to sort of cover today, so we've narrowed it down to six. But just in case you're not aware of the scores, we are obviously going to cover the scores for you. Just before we start, what did you guys think of the Scottish Cup weekend? Any upsets, any games that you didn't see happening?
I think this round of the Cup's probably the best round, you know, the third round when Premiership teams come in, and it's very entertaining. It's obviously a bit later this year. I think it's usually around January time, so The weather was a bit better this weekend. But it's a brilliant round. I wouldn't say there was too many surprises going about. Probably the biggest overall at the minute, because obviously I think there's a game tonight between Hibs and Queen and South, but the biggest is probably Clyde beating Ayr. I don't think there wasn't too many shocks, you know. The League One side beating a Championship side, and especially with the amount of games Clyde have had recently, you know, they've got a busy schedule, so it was a good run for them.
Yeah, I was surprised at that, because I covered the Ayr United Elgin City game in the last round, and Ayr looked obviously like a decent side, so for them to get papped out by Clyde was unexpected from me. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go around the games that we're not covering, give the results, and then we'll move into the games that we are covering. So obviously Ayr United were beaten 1-0 by Clyde. Brora Rangers were beaten 3-1 by Stranraer. Dundee were beaten 1-0 by St Johnston. Dundee United beat Partick Thistle 2-1. East Fife were beaten 2-1 by Greenock Morton. Forfar Athletic and Edinburgh City went to penalties, with Forfar advancing. Fraserburgh got beat 4-2 off of Montrose. Livingston beat Raith Rovers 2-1. Stenhouse Muir were annihilated by Kilmarnock 4-0. And obviously we have the Queen of the South versus Hibs game tonight. So that just leaves us with the games that we've got to cover. And we'll start off with Aberdeen versus Dumbarton. What did you guys think of that game, Declan?
I think, you know, Aberdeen have been in a kind of weird situation now, so I think it was just important for them to get the result over the line and not get knocked out of the cup this early. Dumbarton, obviously they're in the same kind of situation as what Clyde are, playing a lot of games, and to be honest I didn't really expect much from them, but they obviously done well to keep things tight and kind of probably nearly got a result out of it. But I think that obviously Aberdeen just made a few changes and then had too much for them, and they'll be relieved, I'd say, about going through.
What about yourself, Lewis?
Yeah, I think if it was one score, then you'd guess for this game, it would be 1-0, you know, or even penalties to come out of this, because both sides aren't great goal scorers, especially of late. Aberdeen, I think we've seen a common theme, you know, they created a good few chances, especially in the first half, but they just couldn't finish them off, and a few good saves from the Dumbarton keeper, but again, you need to be putting these sort of things away. But I suppose it is a cup tie, and at the end of the day, they'll be happy to go through and get into the next round.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it took them to the 84th minute to put Dumbarton away. But as you say, it's a comfortable result for Aberdeen in what was maybe uncomfortable circumstances, because obviously big clubs have went out of the Scottish Cup early. Hearts being the main one. So yeah, they were sort of fortunate but comfortable in the end. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen the news that Scott Brown has gone to Aberdeen in the summer. What's your thoughts on it? I can't remember if we've already covered it, but if not, what's your thoughts on it, Lewis?
Yeah, I think it's been coming for a few months. It's sort of been a few weeks. There's been a few sort of links, especially I think when Stephen Glass got announced, you could see it coming from a mile off because he was the one always linked. They've also brought in Alan Russell from the England setup, so I think it's a couple of great appointments, especially getting somebody like Scott Brown. You know, he's such a winner for 14 years at a club like Celtic. You know, he'll bring a great mentality to Aberdeen going forward, and it's a bit of an exciting time. You know, in a similar situation in the way Celtic, that everything's changing, a sort of rebuilding away. So it's an exciting time for sure.
Declan.
It's definitely a weird one for me because most of obviously my lifetime it's just been him as the captain of Celtic. But I'm not sure. I always thought, I had an inkling that he would probably leave at the end of like this season, regardless if we got the 10 or not. But as I think a lot of people would also agree on, that it would kind of have been good to oversee the transition that was coming. And just to have someone there that kind of has been there and done it would have been good. And I've got to say, I'm surprised seeing him go to Aberdeen. I think it'll be so strange seeing him and playing for them and even coaching them. But it says kind of a lot about his character. You know, he's fair play to him for that. Actually, it would have been probably easy for him just to take the other year extension that we offered him and continued. But he's obviously seeking new opportunities, and if that's what he wants to do, then he can go with the full support of the fans. So it'd be sad to see him obviously leave, but I think that the success he's achieved at us will never be forgotten. He's obviously be a legend forever.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So the fact he could have taken the 1 year, and I think most people would maybe want him to take the 1 year going into that sort of rebuild, but this is a great opportunity to fulfil his coaching side of things as well as keep playing. You know, they've been offered a 2-year deal to keep playing, but he's got the coaching side of things sorted now at Aberdeen.
Yeah, no, that Declan makes a great point. You know, he's been here for 14 years. He's won, you know, he's won 10 Scottish premierships, obviously 9 in a row, but I do think it's the perfect time for him to go. I will be sad to see him go, but I think when you're wanting to usher in a new era at Celtic, you're wanting a clean slate, and that does mean that, you know, inevitably your captain will have to go. But, you know, I don't think it's the last we'll see of him at Celtic. But, you know, wish him all the best at Aberdeen, because I think he can go up there and maybe sort of rejuvenate them. Okay. Let's move on to the Fermartin versus Motherwell game then. A comfortable win for the Steelmen. What did you guys think of the game as a whole?
Yeah, these games are sort of always entertaining to see a Premiership side go away to a team like Fermartin. You know, in the end they win 5-0, but you just never know going into these games. It's maybe a wee bit different with Fermartin playing so little football recently, but it's a great occasion for them, you know. And a really good win for Graham Alexander, because these can be tricky ties sometimes, but you come away with a win like that, you'll be delighted.
Declan?
Yeah, I think that it's probably a case of, like, again, like in these kind of rounds, when the two teams at opposite ends of the spectrum meet, it's just like the Motherwell just had too much. Because I think the Motherwell have got some technical players, and They can definitely hurt you, and it's just been a kind of weird season for them. But I think it was they just had far too much. And going forward, I know it's a big win, and to go out and win 5-0 is a confidence booster, but it's hard to tell whether it will be a kind of one-off or going forward into the last remaining games of the league, they will actually pick up and start put like putting wins together more often. But I think pretty much the only thing you can really say in that game is that Motherwell were just obviously showing how they were far the better team.
Yeah, no, definitely. Can this result sort of catapult Motherwell then for the rest of the season? You know, we've got the post-split games coming up, or is it just simply a case of it was Motherwell with a Premiership side for Martin is it a Highland League side? So it's just a case of it was inevitably going to happen and it wouldn't mean as much for Motherwell then. Lewis, go for you.
Motherwell in a bit of a strange position right now, you know. Bottom six, but I think I'd say they're safe. So I don't know if it's going to catapult them. You know, their season's sort of dwelled out at the minute. Not much to play for. They've obviously got the games and they could have a massive effect on who goes down, but I wouldn't say it's going to have any sort of major effect going forward. They'll just sort of plod on, keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that Motherwell just... Graham Alexander will be counting down the days to the end of the season, I feel like. I think he's come in and it's kind of... Obviously, they've been so used to Robinson and there's just probably a lot of things he needs changed and they want to have his own kind of transfer windows and start building his own kind of squad. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, not dipping too much and just getting, kind of grinding out results and getting to the end of the season. And then next year, he'll probably want to have a proper go at it.
The most important thing, I think, from now to the end of the season is getting the players signed up, you know. I think Stephen O'Donnell's, he looks as like he's going to sign a new deal there. But players like Declan Gallagher and Alan Campbell out of contract in the season. So that's probably a situation they'll be looking towards as well.
I did not know that Alan Campbell was out of contract at the end of the season. That's a big one.
That's dodgy for them.
Yeah, that is because he does have the potential to be something special, if I'm being honest with you. I was asked this the other day when I was covering the Celtic game on a live for Pass the Mic, but I was asked about whether or not I would take Alan Campbell at Celtic, and although he does have the potential, I'm interested to hear what you guys think on that, just as a wee side question. Declan?
That is a strange one. He's obviously like a really good player. But it's hard to say whether if you were offered him a decent price, I suppose, with the potential that he's got, it's probably a no-brainer. But personally for me, I think there's like a few others in that position that I'd probably rather more. One being Lewis Ferguson. I know that's like maybe controversial to some. But I don't know what it is. I just think it's personally for me, I think Lewis is a really good player, and he could go far and right to the top, well, to a certain level, obviously, but I think he is good. But Alan Campbell, obviously, he's a good player, you know, in midfield. He's kind of, he's fit, athletic, and he's up and down, and he's got that kind of steely kind of grit about him that's similar to what kind of Brown had. So a lot of people do see maybe some similarities there. And suppose if it was for the right price, you could probably would be a not bad option, but it's just need to make, like Celtic just need to make sure that they get that kind of the signings right. So it's a difficult one, but I think he is obviously a good player with good potential.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think there's a few players in the league who you could sort of sign that position. I think people like Ferguson, or like Ali McCann as a player as well, Campbell being one of them. I think looking at Celtic going forward, we will need to start looking at these sort of players in the Scottish League. Obviously, I think this summer's fine in terms of Brexit, but the rules will change going forward. So this is a sort of area we need to look at with the Scottish market. Campbell would be a decent pickup. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be disappointed. You know, if we think Campbell, we'd be like, fine, he's a good, decent young player. There are a few at the club who I would like to see get a chance next season who are on loan, like Sir Luke O'Connell and Scott Robertson, who are out there now doing reasonably well, especially O'Connell. He started brilliantly at Queen's Park, so these sort of players should get a chance, but I think we do need to add a few more in that position too.
I think that is a good point. Sorry, Stephen. Luke O'Connell, and I would really like to see him. I thought when he played in pre-season, he was showing glimpses of what he could really do. And when he signed for Queen's Park, I know they're doing well now, but I was surprised he was going down to that level. I thought someone in Championship would maybe take him on loan or even in our league. I know he's not shown a lot for you, for them to probably base that off, but I thought I was surprised when I seen that, and I would probably also, I think obviously Lewis makes a good point. If you're kind of should be looking closer to home in terms of maybe giving him a chance rather than signing Campbell. But then again, if obviously he's out of contract, then who knows what will happen and if you get him in a free, but Luke O'Connell definitely looks like he's got something.
Okay, doke. Thanks for that, guys. I thought it was interesting because I was asked and then I was like, oh, I don't know what other people say, but you mentioned guys like Lewis Ferguson. I was like, well, I mentioned him as well. I think he's a great player. So yeah, no, that's fine. Let's move on then to a sort of explosive game that, well, I say explosive, the post-match press conference was pretty explosive, but it was Hamilton versus St Mirren. A comfortable 3-0 win in the end for St Mirren. What did you guys think of that match, Lewis?
Yeah, it's a good win from St Mirren to advance. I think they might be a bit disappointed that they couldn't do that a few weeks ago and secure the top six, but there were some great goals in the game. You know, obviously there was one penalty, but the first two were brilliant strikes, you know, sort of dink different, and one straight in the top corner from Dennis, but maybe a wee bit overshadowed at the end by Brian Rice's outburst when he was a bit angry, shall we say. So I think we'll talk about that a bit more, but it was certainly a good one for St Mirren to advance.
Declan?
Yeah, I think it was a good one, obviously, for them, and the one I predicted before the game. I just thought that like teams like Hamilton and stuff and other teams that are kind of at the down the bottom of their leagues, they've got bigger fish to fry that are coming up, and not that anyone would go into a cup game and intentionally want to get knocked out, but I just had a feeling that, you know, St Mirren disappointed from narrowly missing out on the top six, they would want to come out and really prove a point here, and they did. And as Lewis was saying, obviously it was a wee bit of entertainment when at the end with Brian Rice, but it's nothing to be surprised of. I think he's got it in him, so I don't know if he came out and said that it wasn't never a 3-0 game. I'm not sure about that. I think, you know, St Mirren took their chances and they won 3-0, and fair play to them. But very good win for them, like, going forward, and it'll be interesting to see how far they can go in this competition.
Do you know, I hate when managers say, oh, it was never a 3-0 game. Or, you know, if the goals were scored, then yeah, listen, it was a 3-0 game. Let's not pretend it wasn't. Okay, did they deserve to win it? It's debatable, but, you know, when the goals are scored, I'm going to sound like Michael Owen here, right? And people are going to get it, and that's fine. But even you score the goals, you deserve to win, and that's just the way of it. So I'm not sure what Brian Rice is getting at there. It was a pretty explosive rant full of expletives. I'm not going to get into, but I just wanted to get your thoughts. He did lambast the referee a little bit, and does that then constitute him bringing the game into disrepute and sort of setting himself up for a bit of an engagement with the Scottish Football Association, the authorities of the game, Declan?
I think he knew. Before he even opened his mouth, he said, I'm going to get in trouble for this. So yeah. I think he knew straight away, but not personally, I like seeing that. I hate it when it's all the cliche nonsense that they hit out with after the game, and it's the same kind of things that they all hit out with, like, oh, nice 3 points, on to next week, oh, didn't do well, go again next week, all that nonsense. So, nah, I like to see that.
Lewis?
And balling, and there's a bit of good entertainment, so.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think I was speaking to Ben McNichol, who's been on this show after the game, because he was there, he was working at it. And he's just like, oh my God, you should hear what Brian Rice just said. I was like, surely it couldn't have been that bad. And he sent the full thing to me. I was like, Jesus, he's had an outburst. Because like Declan mentioned, like at one point he goes, you know, I better not get... And then he sort of pauses and goes, no, you know what, I'm going to say it. And I'm just going to go for it. But it was... And the way the penalty... He mentions the penalty that St Mirren get. He's probably got a point in the terms that these decisions are so... Well, I'll say not consistent. You know, I think we've seen one at Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. The one where Frizzell, Joe Lewis pulls him down, but the ball looks as though it's gone. So the referee's probably thinking it's not a penalty. But then you go to the Hamilton game, you see a very similar situation. The ball's gone, the keeper takes out the striker, and it's a penalty. So should he have reacted like that? Probably not. But I think it's all just frustration. You know, maybe it is a side you want to see, frustration rather than just the cliches. And at the end of the day, as a human being, he's got a job to do, so he will be frustrated.
I think it's a great thing about Scottish football is passion comes out no matter what. And although I don't think the way Brian Rice went about, you know, calling out the referee and, you know, being explosive, I do think that it was a culmination of events that have happened throughout the season, you know, from the officials towards Hamilton that almost make it impossible for him not to say anything about it. And you just love to see it from a journalistic point of view. It's something to talk about. It's something to write about. It's just, you know what? I'd love to see it every week if managers would just come out and be explosive in that sense, because it makes for great reading and great talking. Let's move on. Ross County versus Inverness Caledonian Thistle. What a game, by the way. I did not expect that result when the tie came out of the bag. And I know Ross County haven't had a great season by all accounts, but to go down 3-1 to your closest rivals, or I suppose your main rivals, is it's something interesting to see. But what did you guys think of the game, Lewis?
Yeah, it's an interesting sort of dynamic, because I wouldn't say in terms of the bottom of the Premiership and sort of the top end of the Championship, it's quite an interesting dynamic, because I think on their day, I think a lot of the teams in the Championship could actually beat some of the bottom sides of the Premiership. You know, there's not too much between them. So I wouldn't say I was too surprised at the result, because maybe because it was 3-1, I expected it to be a decent game between two sides. You know, one near the bottom of the Premiership who's not doing great at the minute. Inverness, you know, they're on a bit of a roll with Neil McCann in temporary charge. So it was certainly an interesting one. Now, you want to see derbies in competition, especially one where they're not in each other's leagues. So to get drawn in a cup competition is brilliant, and it was a good Friday night game of football.
Declan?
I mean, looking back, I don't know if I'm that surprised, because as Lewis was saying, like there's teams in the Championship that I would fancy to beat, teams at the bottom of the top flight on their day. So, and obviously as a derby, it's got that wee extra edge on it. And from an Inverness point of view, I think that they would have thought of this is a great chance to show what we can do, and can I beat our rivals who are in the top flight. So it was obviously, it did make for good viewing on the Friday night football. So I think, like, it is obviously a good result for Inverness. I can't really see them doing much else in the competition, but I think they were just, you know, extra determined and had that extra bit about them and to go get the result against our rivals. And I think it's kind of the same as what I was saying about Hamilton. Not that, like, with Ross County even, like, not even that anyone would obviously intentionally get knocked out the cup, but it's like another thing to, like, not worry about, like, fixture congestion, and they can just focus on the league. But I think obviously that result could be detrimental, because, you know, that's, they must be short of confidence now after that result. So, like, obviously Ross County will be interesting to see how they bounce back.
You make great points there. I was going to come on to that in a second, about, you know, are Ross County in trouble, or does it sort of give them a fixture sort of clear out where they don't need to worry about cup games, you can just sort of focus on survival? Lewis?
I suppose in some way it is, yeah. You know, they can just focus on those league games. They've got a big one coming up on Saturday against Kilmarnock. You know, it could be absolutely massive, and who stays up and who goes down. Facing off against the bottom six teams, you want to put all your focus into that. Saying that, I don't think one more round of a cup, who is Inverness have got again? They've got maybe St Mirren, it would have been a sort of opposition they will be facing. So yeah, I'll say I think they'll be disappointed to lose out to and like that to Inverness, but at the same time you're probably thinking we can just focus on the league now.
Declan?
Yeah, just basically what I was saying again. They just need to, in a way, they'll be disappointed, but now their full focus is on staying up. That's all that they need to kind of look at. And whether they do or not, obviously we've had this debate before. It's a really tough one. But it's just what goals, it's going on confidence now. Obviously Hamilton have been done at the weekend. That'll be that'll be a really confidence knock for them, and then Ross County as well. But they've got, obviously, they've got their chances to bounce back, and they've got their full focus on the league now, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay. Would you class the result then between Ross County and Inverness as a cup set or not? Because I do. I think it is a cup set just from the league kind of point of view, where they're, you know, one's in a higher league than the other. So I think it is a cup set, but I just kind of want to get what you guys think on that, and then we'll move on. Declan?
I'd agree with you. I think it is obviously a cup set just because, like, the obviously where they are in the league and what leagues they're in. So I think you definitely need to say it kind of is. But if you look at it more closely, as we were talking about, I think there's definitely teams that are in the Championship that are capable of beating the teams in the top flight. And obviously Inverness have been on a good run of form. I think before that game, they were unbeaten in four. So, but yeah, I'd still say it's a cup set.
Okay, okay. Lewis?
I'd say yes, just based off the fact it's Premiership versus Championship. You always expect the Premiership team to come on top. But at the same time, I'd say it wasn't a result I looked at with shock, you know, that Ross County had been beaten by Inverness. I think, again, the Championship and bottom sides of the Premiership, there isn't too much to separate there.
Okay, okay. Right, let's move on. We've spent a wee bit of time on that. Let's move on to Rangers versus Cove Rangers. I had it down in my notes, Rangers versus Rangers, which was a mistake. But well, I suppose the result speaks for itself. You know, an absolute... Well, I suppose in terms of it, it's not a thrashing because it could have been worse. But 4-0 was the result. What did you guys think of the game, Declan?
Yeah, so it was basically, I think, obviously the draw got made before Rangers played yesterday evening, so I think everyone knew it was just a formality that it was going to be an Old Firm or the Glasgow derbies.
You need to be careful with that.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I watched it was a formality. Rangers were going to win. You could just tell straight away they were just bopping it about, one touch passing, Cove couldn't get a touch on them. I'm actually surprised that it ended 4-0, and it kind of fair play to Cove for coming out and keeping it at that score, because I thought it could have been a cricket score the way things were going in that first half. Yep, there you go.
I was going to say, I thought you'd finished. I was going to say, Lewis, but if you've got more, then feel free to add on.
No, on you go. That's basically all it's going.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think looking at that game, it's not one you're surprised with. You expected Rangers to win. They've not been beaten at home all season in the league, and they've only conceded two goals or something, so you expected Cove to go there with a difficult task on their hands. 4-0 up at half time, you're expecting a bit more, but they've done well. I don't know whether, I didn't get to catch the second half, only watched the highlights in that sense, so I don't know whether it was more Cove doing well or Rangers sort of taking their foot off the gas a little bit. But you've got to give credit to the League One side going there and keeping them quiet in the second half. What Paul Hartley will probably be more worried about is the injury to Jamie Mason, Mason, who came off, was stretched off for an injury in the second half.
I think it was Rangers more taking the foot off the gas, to be honest, because the way things were going in the first half, it just looked like Cove never, you know, going to see that staying the same. But fair play to Paul Hartley. You know, I don't know if it's, he's kind of stuck to his guns and he's went there and he's tried to play out for the back and stuff, but just shows that, like, when you play that level of position and you're a team like Cove, you just get punished.
Mm-hmm. From a supporter's point of view, you know, if you're a Rangers fan, are you disappointed at seeing Rangers take the foot off the gas? Lewis?
Maybe not disappointed. I mean, use the word disappointed, probably just maybe a wee bit frustrated that you couldn't go and kick on, score a few more goals, you know, bring on some substitutes, get them some confidence boost. I mean, that is different. You just need any more of a confidence boost than being unbeaten in domestic football so far. But I think they'll just be happy to go through, especially we've seen the draw before the game.
Declan?
Yeah, I think they just will be. They've been wanting more goals, 100%. You could tell from the outset that they were really going for this. You know, they kind of, their team was still strong. You know, I think it was the usual suspects. They kind of brought Wright in and they had Bassey McLaughlin, but they still had a lot of, like, their main guys on the park, and you could tell they were going to go and grab the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think, yeah, probably they're just, you know, Gerrard's, he strikes me as the type of manager who's never happy.
Mm.
And he's always kind of looking for more. So he probably, if he was to pick holes in that one, he'd probably say, I wanted another four.
Okay, okay. Just a quick question on the draw. Obviously, Declan, you mentioned that the draw happened before the Rangers, Cove Rangers game kicked off. Does that then give the team, you know, Rangers seeing that they had Celtic in the next round, or, you know, if they bet Cove that it would be Celtic in the next round, does that give them an extra incentive to go out and show that, you know, show up, give a performance to their fans and say, we want this, you know, this tie in the next round? Or was it just a case of it was only Cove Rangers? It was sort of a formality anyway, Lewis.
I think if you ask sort of Steven Gerrard and the players that question, they'd probably say, no, we're going out to beat whoever we want. But subconsciously, I think there'll be something deep down that will think, this is who we're facing next round, you know, let's go out, get through this tie and on to the next one.
Declan?
Yeah. Definitely would have knew that draw was coming, and they were definitely going to make sure they were in that pot. Well, even just there for the next game, even because the draw was obviously made. But I think that it just shows what kind of the current state is. Like, maybe before they would have been a bit apprehensive playing us. Not that they ever, like, went out and get knocked out intentionally, so they could no play Celtic, but I think from their point of view, like, the obviously the fear factor isn't there anymore with Celtic, so they'd have seen that as another opportunity to kind of get one over on Celtic, already doing it with blowing the chances of them winning the title, and then this is another chance to go on and win the double. So but then from a Celtic perspective as well, I think it's another chance for them to, like, for even get, like, a, you know, get, like, something back and restore a wee bit of pride and go on a run and win the cup.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to the Celtic Falkirk game then. It was a game that sort of struck me early on that this is going to take to the second half for it to kind of kick on and for Celtic to get the goals that they needed. I suppose as time went on, you felt like, oh my God, this could be Ross County all over again. But obviously got the goals, comfortable 3-0 win. What did you guys think of the game, Declan?
Yeah, I think I know. Obviously, this season, and, like, there's been times where we have just been so lackluster and, like, not exciting. But just thought, like, the game was a formality, and Falkirk never troubled really at all, I don't think. And obviously, I think it was just a matter of time before Celtic went on to take the lead. And obviously, to go and win the game 3-0 does probably build a wee bit of confidence. But I think that the eyes would have been on kind of just, you know, getting past them and progressing and winning this tournament. So I think obviously Kennedy will be taking it seriously. But yeah, I think it was obviously a slow start. It'd been nice to see kind of more goals in the first half. But all that matters really is the win.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think personally it wasn't a concern, you know, going in 0-0 at half time, because it's, well, maybe I suppose what we have seen recently is a trend of creating chances in the first half but not taking them, and that happened again. But I don't think there was ever a point where I would say I was worried that Falkirk would come into the game. So it's they'll take it a 3-0 win then, you know, once they scored the first. I must say it's great to see James Forrest back scoring goals, especially after months out with injury. You know, it's not been a great time for him recently, but it's really good to see him back, and he'll be pushing for Scotland squad now as well. But I think there'll be a section of support who might be delighted that Kennedy got through this, and he's a step closer to the 10 games that I've got a bet on.
Yeah, no, 100%. It was good to see Forrest score. When I was covering the game live, I genuinely thought the keeper had a howler with the shot that he took, but I didn't realise it took
him. Yeah, it's taking a wee deflection.
But it was a great goal. But can I just say something about Forrest? His beard just doesn't suit him. See, as a guy that has a beard and knows if a beard suits somebody, it just does not suit him at all. I prefer that childlike James Forrest sort of. It sort of his iconic look. So yeah, he looks weird with a beard.
See, just to add on what we're kind of summarising from that game, mm-hmm. I think that may be the game that is like the final straw for Griffiths. Like, I just feel as though, I think that's him done now, to be honest, after seeing that game. He's just so, he's just not, sharp. He's just so off the boil, and his face just told a story when he was sitting on the side. And it was just, he just looked done. I think that kind of has been the game now that people look at him and be like, nah, I think he's, definitely done. And yeah. I think it is, obviously, I'd agree. I think he is probably best for all parties if he does move on.
I think the thing about Lee Griffiths, and I had a rant about people suggesting that he deserved to be in the Scotland squad, which he didn't, by the way. The thing about him is he had his day 6 years ago, or 5 years ago, the 2015-16 season. Without him, Celtic would not have... I don't think Celtic would have secured that year's title because Aberdeen were pushing them really hard. And without Griffiths' contributions, you know, Celtic would have... They would have been in trouble. He's been a great servant to the club, but there's only so far that being a great servant to the club can take you. And coming back from pre-season, not being fit, during lockdown, playing on TikTok while others are out there busting their backside, like Klamala was, to get fitter and to be a better player than he already was, it signifies to me that he doesn't care. And I could be wrong in that, and people can have a different opinion, but the attitude that he shows just isn't of what you would expect from a professional athlete. So I would say that, yeah, this game, you say this game was maybe the time that people realise Griffiths hasn't been, you know, it's the game that he sort of realises that he's not for Celtic anymore. I say that happened maybe a couple of years ago, but I see your point. And
in terms of him, more so, I know a lot of supporters have been fed up with him for a while, and personally I've kind of cut him slack all the time. Even at the start of the season when there was obviously trouble with his fitness and stuff, I was always bring him back, he'll do well. And even the game at the start of the year against Rangers, I thought that was the right decision putting him in, but it just seems like he's never learning now. And I feel like maybe it's obviously difficult for him. He's had his difficulties as well.
Yeah.
But I feel as though in that position, you just can't afford to take the foot off the gas as much as he has. And from a personal point of view for him, I think more so he would have always thought in himself that he was good enough. That he's never lacked belief, and he's never thought, right, my time's up. But I just thought his kind of face told a story, and he probably realised just that at the weekend he's done himself. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong and he'd probably come out and say otherwise, but I just think that it's probably best anyway that he moves on.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Lewis, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I just completely agree. You know, I think one thing that maybe could mean he is here next season is purely based off numbers. You know, I think he's going to lose so many players, and there's talk of Patrick Klamala going out on loan as well. So I think the one thing that could see him stay here is the number of players. But obviously, it's looking more and more likely as the days go that Eddie Howe will be the next boss. And recently, I think we've seen Defoe come out and say some stuff about how he's let him go. But I think that could be a similar situation to Lee Griffiths, because in terms of fitness, I don't think he'll be a player that he will fancy.
No,
I've seen Aberdeen with Scott Brown. Who would ever thought that? But
well, that was the rumor. I seen that last week that could be a thing. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Probably two of the most hated guys in Aberdeen a couple of years ago.
I know. Okay. Let's move on then. We've covered all the games that I suppose we kind of had to cover. Let's move on to the fourth round draw. Aberdeen versus Livingston, Forfar Athletic versus Dundee United, Kilmarnock versus Montrose, Motherwell versus Greenock Morton, St Johnstone versus Clyde, St Mirren versus Inverness, or Stranraer versus Queen of the South or Hibernian, and Celtic versus Rangers versus Celtic, if you want to be pedantic. Anything other than the Old Firm / Glasgow Derby that sort of stands out as a big game for you, Lewis?
I think the one St Mirren and Furness could be an interesting one, you know, to see how the Championship side do against a decent St Mirren side who probably should be in the top six, but they're just unfortunately miss out. Although I think there's some good ties in terms of Forfar, obviously the bottom of League One, but they'll be fancying sort of Dundee United coming to their place. Could be an interesting one. Kilmarnock could be strugglers against Montrose. You know, there's a few interesting ties, and it's cliche, but the Scottish Cup, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I suppose it's the drama of the cup. Declan, what about yourself?
I probably agree with Lewis in terms of the St Mirren Inverness game would be interesting. I think it's another kind of big test for Inverness and to kind of show what they can do. But I think obviously the main one, Rangers Celtic, and then Aberdeen Livingston will be an interesting kind of tie. But I think the other games you can kind of pick who would go through most of them anyway. You know, there's but as we all know, like the cup, who knows what can happen every year. There seems to be always a couple of upsets. Obviously, we've already seen one this year with Brora, and then I remember a few years ago even junior side Auchinleck beat Ayr. So
yeah.
It's just that it's difficult to kind of. I wouldn't be putting, you know, a lot of money on any of the kind of you know, teams to beat who their favourites over. But I think obviously that most of them kind of look like a formality.
I think for me the game that stands out is Inverness and St Mirren, but also Aberdeen and Livingston. I think that can be a really great encounter, and if Stephen Glass is in his position by then, you know, that could make a great start, and sort of his aim for the season could be to get Aberdeen, you know, a trophy. That'd be great going into next season with your first full season ahead of you. So I think that could be a really interesting tie. I said before the tie that Celtic would get Rangers. I said that I wouldn't be surprised. It's a tie I wanted to see because I think, and I've said this in previous episodes, Celtic this season against Rangers, they lost 2-0 at Celtic Park, deservedly so. Decimated by COVID, not an excuse. Rangers deserve to win. Celtic at Ibrox deserved more than what they got. I think I won't be controversial in saying that Celtic played Rangers off the field that day and were sucker punched by an own goal from Callum McGregor. Then you look at the game a couple of weeks ago and it's 1-1. Celtic again controlled the game. Although they've not yet to register a win against Rangers, it's a tie I fancy Celtic to win. And it's one that I think there should be motivation there for the Celtic players to say their season is built on a double. Their season is built on being invincible in the league, and to add the cup to that would you know, be the cherry on top. Celtic's goal should then be, well, we are the only team in Scotland that have won the league, have won a treble invincibly. I think that's motivation enough to stop Rangers. So I genuinely see this tie being a great encounter for the neutral, but it's one I'm buzzing to watch from a Celtic point of view, because I think that Celtic could really, really do a number. But as we say, we'll need to wait and see. And anytime I predict anything, it always goes the other way. So if I've already jinxed Celtic, I apologise. But yeah, I was going to read out the fifth round draw, but we can do that after the fourth round draw. That's one thing that really annoyed me, by the way. Why in the, you know, why did they do two draws at the same time? It just annoyed me because it meant I had to wait longer to see what else was happening. But also, I don't see the point in it. Just wait till the fourth round or, you know, fifth round ties are over and then do the draw. It baffles me. But modern football. I think we've covered everything that we need to cover, unless you guys have any other opinions.
Just probably to expand on the draw with Rangers a wee bit. I think it'll be interesting to see, like, how we kind of go into that game, you know, if any more. I think, when is the game scheduled for? Is it 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, it will be 17th to the 18th. I might probably guess is the 18th, the Sunday.
Yeah. So it's a weird one, because I think from a professional side of things, we've, like, Celtic have got to see that from a another opportunity to kind of damage their season, you know, because I think if you do that, it's not going to be, I think if they go unbeaten in the league, it's obviously not going to be as good as the Invincible season, but I think that, you know, it'll be talked about is right up there. So I think if you could go and obviously if they won the Scottish Cup as well, so obviously if you go and kind of take that away from them as well, then they've got to be happy with that draw, and especially getting them earlier in the competition. I think it's obviously more nervy if you get them late on, and it could be more damaging. I'm sure, like, obviously losing in a final or a semi-final would be worse, but
yeah,
getting them early on and kind of having time to kind of go and push on and see what happens. But like, I was speaking to like a kind of boy in uni who's a Rangers fan. He was just asking me how like I was feeling. It was interesting to see his thoughts, because you'd think from a Rangers point of view, they've kind of done fairly well against us. I know we've said that they've not played great, but they've not really had to. You know, they've just kind of got their results, and we both seen kind of different point. He was saying like he's not confident whatsoever with his words. He just thought, he was saying from more the side of they were battered the last time, two times that they played Celtic, and they lucked their way to 4 points in two games. Mm-hmm. And he just thinks that, you know, that they can't keep getting luck and getting the results going against them. So it's interesting to see someone that's actually not confident for their side of things. But I was more of the opinion that, like, how more many times can we have the chance? You know, we've had golden opportunities to go and beat them, and we've struggled with, like, fair enough, we've played well, but we've not beat them. And I just think, like, how many more times are we going to play well, like, and outplay them? You know, I just can't see that continuing, like, or very well. It could, obviously, it's a possibility, but just it might be unlikely that just continues to happen. And we'll, so it's obviously interesting to see both sides, but I just don't know how many more times we can play well. And I think there might be a time that comes where we don't, and we get punished.
I think it'll be interesting, this sort of managerial situation. You know, obviously, it is looking like Eddie Howe at this stage, but either way, I don't think whoever's appointed the man, I don't think they should be in the dugout for this game. But it will hopefully, or it should give players a boost. You know, we've got something to play for next season. Even we've got a fifth Scottish Cup in a row to aim for, so it'll be an intriguing tie.
You know, I think there was people saying on Twitter, I hope Eddie Howe's in the dugout for this game. On what planet?
Be a bit reluctant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What planet are you on? Like,
in an ideal world, I would say I'd love to have him in the dugout, get as early as possible, but I just think in terms of Celtic sport, he loses in that game and people start panicking. And it's just not a great situation. I wouldn't personally. I think we need to be patient with somebody, whoever the next manager is, but it's just the way the Celtic support are, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the people say that they want him in to, like, assess the squad and stuff.
I don't mind him doing that behind the scenes.
Yeah, you can do that. That's what I was going to say. You can do that from not being involved and kind of getting involved in a mess that was left by someone else. So I don't think it would be the sensible option to bring him in now.
Yeah, no, I agree. It makes you question what planet people are on. Like, why would you want Eddie Howe if it is him? But why would you want him to come in to take charge of that mess? And the only sort of answer I can give is they want him to come in, then Celtic lose, and it gives people a chance to take shots at him. So that would be my only reason, because I don't see any benefits of him coming in early, other than to assess the squad. But as you say, you can do that from behind the scenes. So yeah, should be a good, interesting couple of months for Celtic, I think, with the impending announcement of a new manager. It's a big season ahead for
we'll get an announcement on Tuesday as well of Dominic Mackay starting officially 3 months early. So
yeah, I've seen that'll be interesting as well. I think if there's any, I don't think there is anything. I think we've covered it quite well. Just apologies to anyone's team that hasn't been covered in great detail. There's just not enough time.
Just quickly on that, like, a few of the goals, unbelievable. I think it was a few from sort of Montrose and Forfar, some overhead kicks. It was some brilliant goals and the best ones of the competition.
I was like,
there's so many games. You can't come.
you can't do it in that space of time. But thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope you guys had a good time. I did, and I hope everyone listening enjoyed it. Absolutely hate doing these outros. It's the worst. That I prefer doing it post edit, but for whatever reason, I'm not able to do that at the moment. So thanks very much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you haven't already followed the podcast Twitter on Twitter, it's at De Stefano Talks, and we will see you again next Monday at 4 p.m. on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts.